Live agus Fáilte go Dún Clár come an Lucas Gael na Seachtaine Seo le mí Tom Comack with you as usual until 8 o'clock and as always at this time on a Wednesday night. Hope you can stay with us right through until 9 because, well, coming up in tonight's programme, I'm surrounded by Letterkenny Gael's officials, Dan Hartnett, Jim Midlen, Mark McFadden and Senior Team Manager Sean McBearty are in studio with me tonight to reflect on what has been a landmark year for the Letterkenny Gael's club. Obviously promotion for the very first time in their 18 year history from Division 4, the basement division of Donegal All County Football League football, right up to Division 3. We'll talk to Dan, Jim, Sean and Mark in a few moments, but first of all I suppose congratulations has to go to St Julian's on their first round success against Rosslea Shamrocks in the Ulster Club Championship on Sunday last down in O'Donnell Park, and of course they're in action again this Sunday in Celtic Park where they take on St Enda's from Omagh in what promises to be a mouth-watering Ulster Senior Football Championship clash. But well, the team of the week has certainly to go to Clonhilly agus Cogardiachas, though on Erin on Clonhilly agus on Bonnystore, Joe McGee Garvey, certainly they have been the team of the week here in Donegal, winning the Donegal Intermediate Championship on Saturday afternoon, defeating Buncrana in the final, and then within 24 hours heading into Derry and playing Castle Dawson, the Derry Intermediate Championship champions in Owen Beg, and coming out on top on that one. And Clonhilly are also back in action, certainly no rest or no time for celebration on that Intermediate Championship success, the second in the club's history. They're in Dungannon on Sunday afternoon next. They play Warren Point from Down in that Intermediate final, and certainly things are really looking up for Donegal football, because three Donegal teams have the chance of making it through to Ulster Club Championship finals this Sunday, because completing the three of Donegal teams in action on Sunday afternoon, Oris, the Donegal Junior A champions, they're in Dungannon as well, where they play the Armagh champions Kerry. Of course Oris had an impressive victory over Arv from Cavan in their first round clash, and well, we wish all those teams well. We may talk about those in a moment, but as I said, our main focus tonight is on Letterkenny Gaels and their landmark year, and in particular their promotion from Division 4 football for the very first time. We'll talk to Dan Hartnett, Jim Midlen, Mark McFadden and to Sean McBearty in a couple of moments. But first of all, St Michael's under 16 footballers have been making great waves as well. They opened their Ulster campaign last weekend with a victory over Carrickmore from Tyrone, and they're also in action this weekend where they play at St Bridget's of Antrim in the Ulster semi-final. That game is in Dromore. It's of course the Paul McGuire Memorial Tournament, the unofficial under 16 football title. But St Michael's have won, well, a first under 16 title in what, over 50 years, I think, in the club's history. And, well, earlier this evening, I spoke to their manager, Michael Kelly. Michael, I know there was big disappointment a couple of weeks ago when your seniors bowed out of the, championship at the semi final stage to St Junan's. But no doubt your under 16s winning a championship has lifted the spirits in the club.
Oh, without a doubt, Tom, yes. We actually won it the week before they went out of the championship. One of the same day we played low up in McCool Park, but it was without doubt great boost for the club anyway, because we had high expectations of the seniors, obviously with the talent and players we have. But saying that, the 16s have given us a big lift now around the club, and yeah, everybody something to cheer about at least, you know.
Yeah, and I know from speaking to you beforehand, I was kind of amazed to find, given all the quality players that have come through and all the great work that has been done in recent years, that it's the first under 16 in quite a long time for the club.
It is, without a doubt. It's come back a lot of times. Yeah, as you say, there was a lot of quality players through their hands of this club since that. Like, you know, even the current county boys failed to lift the 16 championship. I think four masters with the undoing of them. And, even the Anton and the Andrews and the Daniels lost out to the, I think it was the semi final. They lost out in the 16 year, but that's what probably makes it a wee bit extra special. These boys weren't probably as much expected of them, but they managed to do the business when it came to the right time, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And beat St Julian's in the final, always a good barometer and a good gauge as to how good you are, because, you know, most people feel that obviously St Julian's, given the population and everything, are the top underage team in the county and the team to beat in the final.
Well, without a doubt. And I'll have to say that this St. Junior's team is probably as good as an under-age team that there is going. We happened to beat them on the day that day. It was the third time we played them this year, and it was the first result we got against them. They're in, I know they've got a big population, but like with every, you can have all the players in the world, but Jim Clark there has done fantastic work with them, and it was a fantastic achievement for our boys to just get over the line. Even if it was by a point, it probably made that wee bit more excitement, but it was one of the best days that this club has had on the region. Anyway.
And tell me about a little bit about the team, Michael.
Well, basically, like every small club, there's a lot of cousins and brothers, and there's a set of twins in it. But there some great footballers all through the team. Like, you know, but I think the main thing that this team has, and I think the reason that they've won, got the county championship, is that there's a great team spirit in them and a great all-round belief that they, for each other, because it's like, so Michael's are a small club, like, you know, yeah. And you have to have belief in and with the players that you have, because even last week in the semi-final, I noticed they had 13 subs now. We had only 3 fit subs on the day, you know.
Yeah, and I know you're in Ulster at the moment, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And you got over the first hurdle last Sunday against Carrickmore, and you're back in action this weekend. But in terms of this squad of players, was it on the horizon for a while? How had they done, say, at 12, 14?
Yeah, I would say, without a doubt, you would always felt that the talent was there. We probably didn't just come up to the right heights that they should have been over the years, like, you know. This year they sat down and Mickey's set out very early that they told them, if they had the belief themselves, that there was a 16 championship there for them. And in fairness to them, like, you can talk all you want about winning things, but it's out on the hard, wet nights down in Dunfanaghy at the bridge that you have to prove it. And they've done that all season long. They have been out. We've been out for a long campaign at this stage, but like everything, but the truth was that the talent was there. It's just this year they brought it to the fore.
Mm. And obviously a product of your renown, shall we say, at this stage, parish leagues?
Yeah, exactly. It's another product of them, is right, yeah. It's, all these boys would have come up through that with coaching that they got from it up through it. But this year I would say the biggest thing was, even though all the coaching they had got, is their own determination to stay, to turn up twice a week or 3 times a week, whatever was asked of them, and that's what stood them to get to the county final and won it.
Yeah. So have we a few more budding Colin McFadden's and Martin McElhinney's and Christy Toys and Daniel McLaughlin's and Peter Witherow's and Andrew Kelly's?
Well, I would like to think so. There's no doubt about it. I've been involved with clubs, teams for all my adult life down here. So, you know, you never know how it's going to go with young players at 16. But definitely their talent is up there with all those players you've named.
Yeah. And in terms of, as you said, out in the Paul McGarr, which is the unofficial Ulster club under 16 championship last weekend down in Dromore, defeated Carrickmore, no more than St. Junan's. Obviously, a good barometer as well is Tyrone underage football, and we always kind of look up to it and see that, you know, if we can compete with them and do well against them, that we have a team of quality or a team with the right to think that maybe they can go places.
Well, without a doubt, you know, we knew when we got Carrickmore that we were meeting a Tyrone team, and as you say, the underage structure in Tyrone's that strong that we knew would be up against it. And one of the most satisfaction parts was that after coming through St. Junan's and a great St. Junan's team as well, the fact that we backed it up with another one against a very good Carrickmore team, that really helped these players' confidence. And I mean, it's great for the club, like.
Mm. And you're out again on Sunday, back to Dromore again on Sunday. St. Bridges, is it the Antrim champions?
That's correct. I was Bridges. It's actually on Saturday, Tom. And yeah, it's back in Dromore again. So we, a bit like ourselves, they are, it's new competition for them. They have the first time, I think, they've won their respective county final. So the fact that we're both clubs have gone and had a great result last week, so we'll see how it goes when we go head-to-head on Saturday now.
And you'll be hoping that the red and white flags will be still flying around the parish come next week?
That would be a great bonus, without a doubt, Tom, a great bonus if we could do that, yeah.
Look, thanks for joining me, Michael, and congratulations to yourself and Mickey McFadden, and keep up the good work, and to all the players and the club.
Thanks very much, Tom, and thanks for the call, because I know at that age group, it's the excitement of hearing that they're going to be on Highland is great for them. So thanks very much.
Okay, take care of yourself. Thanks a million. Michael Kelly there speaking to me earlier this evening, and of course Michael is training his side tonight along with Mickey McFadden, and well, they're preparing for that Ulster semi-final in Dromore on Saturday afternoon. Apologies for mentioning Sunday, I think, earlier. And of course, I forgot to mention earlier as well that Tyrone Ladies are in All-Ireland semi-final action again, and Francie Friel taking the girls to Clonburn in Galway, where they will take on the Galway champions on Sunday afternoon. Certainly no great success or no great luck with Tyrone Ladies in the draw, because that's, I think, their third away win in the championship since winning the Donegal title. So we wish them the best of luck on that, and indeed we'll be looking forward to that game on our Saturday sports programme, along with, of course, St Junans and St Enda's in the Ulster Senior Football Championship game. That's in Celtic Park, and of course we'll have live commentary on that game on Sunday afternoon. It'll be the main feature of a Sunday sport here on Highland Radio. Clonhilly, as I mentioned, they're in Intermediate Football Championship action against Warren Point from Down on Sunday afternoon as well. That's part of a double header, because Orris, the Donegal Junior Champions, are also in action on Sunday. They take on Katie from Armagh. Both those games, the Orris Katie and Clonhilly Warren Point games, are in Dungannon. 12:30 throw-in for Katie and Orris. So an early start again for Danny Kelly and his men. Well, as I said earlier, the main focus tonight is on Letterkenny Gaels, and it has been a landmark year for the club, 18 years in existence, and they've won promotion at senior football level for the very first time. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the club chairman, Dan Hartnett, Jim McGlynn, the club secretary, the club PRO, Mark McFadden, and also by the man that has masterminded that promotion for the very first time, Sean McBearty, the team manager. I think he shares the role with John McDermott. Better not leave John out, because he's a Roscommon man as well. So we'll talk about that in a moment. First of all, men, very good night to you and very welcome. And I suppose we'll start with you, Sean. You're the manager. Promotion after, what, 18 years?
Yeah, Tom, it was... It was well overdue, I suppose, you know. But you know, I suppose maybe going back down through the years when we started out first, you'd have to say that it was more about maybe trying to field a team, you know, back years ago, because I have been kind of there or thereabouts, kind of involved since the very beginning, you know. And but it would you'd have to say that in recent years the work and you know the effort that has been put in at underage level, you know, in the club, you know, was going to inevitably bring some success, you know, eventually. And you could see that in recent years with, especially, you know, our teams as they progressed from the lower age groups up to under 16 minor and under 21, that there was a sort of a natural development.
You have enjoyed success at those levels, at county level.
Yeah, and you'd have to say that in the past, I suppose, when our adult teams were playing, we were, I suppose, noted throughout the county for being the whooping boys, and we had that kind of a lose mentality. But you'd have to say that since the younger lads started to integrate with the senior panel, you know, these guys had a winning mindset, and because they had some success at underage level, we just felt ourselves that it was bound to sort of click into gear, and it was only a matter of, you know, making sure that these lads themselves sort of believed and themselves, and that we could bring it forward to you know, to adult level, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're, as I say, probably as you have to do with leagues, but you certainly did it. You won it from the front. I think, what, 11 wins, was it? One draw, one defeat, was it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was just basically we had 14 matches in the league, and the one game that we lost was by 1 point. I know we drew two games as well, but like we just, the one game that we lost was just by 1 point. So you'd have to say in our 14 matches, we were very, very competitive in every game. You know, and the one thing that I looked at from the beginning of the season was that sort of we looked at asking the players sort of to try and sort of give an improved performance every time they went out, and you could just see that happening from the time we went up to Castlefin and won by a late goal in the opening game of the season. Sort of once we started to get a couple of ones under our belt, you could actually see the confidence growing in the team themselves, and sort of just went on from there, you know. Yeah.
And talk to me about the team. Maybe tell us about some of the individuals in the team, some of your players.
Yeah, well, first of all, I suppose, you know, the reality was that when I took over at the beginning of the year, the most important thing to do first was to put a good management team in place, and that, as you've already mentioned there, we had our our my Roscommon comrade John McDermott was my right hand man, and you know we had two Oris men, Pat Doherty and John McGilloway assisting us there as well too with training, you know, on Tuesday and Thursday, and they were also working with the reserves, and we had people in like Seamus Bradley. We brought in a physio, Kieran Doherty, and we just made sure that we had a good sort of management team, you know, right around. But then when you go looking at the panel of players that we had as well, you know, of the 30 players that I used this year, their average age basically was 20 years of age. You know, so you're looking at a very young side, and you know, week in, week out, we probably were playing about 10 or 11 under 21s every Saturday that we went out to play. So like they all are guys that sort of came up from under 8, under 10 and under 12. They've been wearing the club jersey for a long time, and sort of when we asked them to come out and play for us at senior level, you know, they were playing for the jersey and playing for the club. Mm. And that was something that took time to sort of to nurture. But most of all as well, we had a team captain this year as well, and Brendan O'Brien. He's a guy that came into the club from Emmyvale a couple of years ago, and he had great success with Emmyvale at Ulster Club and at All Ireland Club level, at, you know, when he was playing a junior with them, and he's been a fantastic captain and a great leader for the team all year. So we had a real gem in there when you had the likes of Brendan in there with the senior players.
Tato Gersa, Clash and Clara, coming Luke Glass, Gael, and Shocked on the Show, and me, Tom Comack, and we're reflecting on a successful year for Letterkenny Gaels and their promotion for the very first time from Division 4 football to Division 3, and looking forward to that. The voice you heard there is that of their joint team manager, Sean McBrearty, and well, obviously they're looking forward to Division 3 next year. But Jim Edlin is the club secretary. He's here with me as well. And Jim, more than Sean McBrearty, you're probably there from day one, so you're one of the men that obviously appreciates the success that was achieved this year.
Very much so, Tom. It has been a long journey, but we've had outstanding success this year. As you touched on earlier, the club was founded in 96. We would have operated from different playing facilities in the early years. Coincidentally, one of those was actually down at the pits that was behind the Silver Tassie, which was shared with Letterkenny Rugby Club.
Yeah.
And maybe the seeds were sown there of a future partnership.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah. in football terms, because yeah, a lot of us looking on from the outside, we'd seen a lot of work been done. We'd seen success at underage, particularly in recent years. And I often shook my head and wondered why there wasn't success. It must be your patience must been tested down there.
It was very much tested over the years. Probably a crucial step in the journey was the establishment of a Borden and Og structure within the club. And Sean was actually a chairman around the time I was invited to come along and assume the position of chair of Borden and Og. We set about putting a more organised structure in place for underage, and sowed the seeds for, you know, the continued growth and development of the club at underage level.
Yeah,
and obviously Dan could give you more information.
Yeah, and just talking about Dan and the involvement of underage and the growth of the club in recent years, you know, a lot of people obviously involved over the last couple of years.
There has been a pile of people, Tom, and success, as everyone knows, doesn't come overnight, and it doesn't come easily. And while we had success at underage level, and you're right that there were a lot of people scratching their head as to why we weren't more successful.
And not just outside the club, I'm sure.
Not outside the club, within the club, everywhere. And we probably took it too lackadaisical, and you know, it was a bit of crack to go down and have a bit of fun. But, you know, if you go back on the results for the last couple of years, actually, you can see that we were nearly there, and yet losing games that we probably should have won. Whereas with the management team this year that were in place, we were winning those close games and getting success from them. But the reason for that, of course, is because of all the hard work that has been put in previous to this year. And two of the main instigators that done Trojan work with underage teams were both John McDermott and Sean McBrearty. And I think that they took it upon themselves at the start of the year to set up a system, and they they were serious from the word go. They got the players to buy into this. They built confidence in the players. And as the season went on, you could see how the team were progressing, getting more confident, and were winning the games that normally they would have been losing prior to that.
Mm.
But as I say, it was because of the work that they put in, the management team that Sean built around him,
mm-hmm.
and got the players to buy into the plan.
And in terms of what do you feel it has meant from the club? Have you seen a change of attitude in the club?
There has been a total and unbelievable change of attitude in the club. You can see it even at underage level on a Sunday morning, when the under sixes and under eights are down there. There are far more youngsters coming to the club. We have brilliant coaches in both hurling and football at the club, coaches that any club would be envious of, and obviously the youngsters and their parents are now buying into the fact that we're not just come for an evening's fun and forget about it. We are interested in developing both codes of the club, both hurling, football, camogie, ladies football, and we're a serious outfit, and we intend to be a serious club, and we have potential. It's just a matter of getting that extra bit of a push, and I think we probably, in my opinion anyway, we have the officers in the club are probably the best officers in any GA club, and the coaches are as qualified and more qualified than most clubs, and as I say, success doesn't come easily. You have to work at it, and I feel that we are now putting in a huge effort in the club.
And in terms of just moving away from the senior team at the moment, and even from the football teams, in terms of the year in general, how did teams fare at underage, other levels?
Well, at underage level, our under-14 footballers both won Division 2 Northern League and Championship, and unfortunately lost out narrowly in two county finals. We in hurling, we lost out in two county finals. Your own club,
an unlikely one, but
taught us a lesson in one of them. But while that has been the total amount of success with underage this year, but I feel that we're not far off in most grades.
Yeah, and you had a very good under-14 hurling team last year, because I got rave reviews from Limerick, where you were down at the failure, was that right?
Last year, yes.
Yeah.
We qualified for failure, and it was a great honour to be in my home county, Limerick, where we beat two top-class teams from Limerick and lost out narrowly to an outfit from... what's that county called again? Oh, Roscommon.
Myself and John McDermott haunting you.
Yes, obviously.
and just before we go back to Jim McGlynn, I'm going to talk to Mark McFadden here. The PRO, obviously, all this success, Mark, it makes it a busy time for a PRO, and it was a good time.
It does indeed. It keeps us very busy. This year we set up a Twitter page to keep our supporters and ex-players in touch of the games, and again we're lucky enough for the senior team that, and a lot of the results went well for us. And in terms of everything that's associated with being a PRO, you have your club notes to do, and you have we keep a couple of Facebook pages within the club as well. So busy time, and we look forward to next year.
Yeah. Anyway, Jim, back to you again. Obviously, we talked about the success on the field, and you know the increase in levels of involvement at underage level. How significant was it that over the last 7 or 8 years, you can correct me on this, but you've got a centre, you've got a base, you've got the Glebe, you're in that ground down at the Glebe, obviously sharing it with Letterkenny Rugby Club.
Yeah, and obviously, Tom, the work it took to achieve all of that was quite significant as well, and involved an awful lot of commitment on the part of a lot of people. If I could just touch on the unique structure that exists between our club and Letterkenny Rugby
Club. It was a pioneering one. I don't think there's any other one in the country.
That's right. After our initial journeys around the town, playing in different venues, we jointly purchased land at the Glebe. Excellent point of fact. It was done by private proposals, and we discovered at some stage in the process that both clubs were bidding for the same piece of land.
Yeah.
And obviously...
Well, that's called gazumping, is it?
Yeah. Obviously, there was a meeting of minds, and the seeds were sown for a unique partnership. And we started playing on the field. It was a naturally flat playing field.
Yeah.
Played on for a number of years. And on the legal side, We had to establish an entity to govern the whole arrangements. So Glebe Sports Holdings was founded, a management agreement put in place, a limited company, limited by guarantee, four directors from each club, each club was 50% equal shares in the facilities. And obviously the first major project was to develop playing fields.
Yeah.
Application made for lotto funding. The fact that it was a dual, the dual sports made it very attractive to the National Lottery, and we received significant grant aid there. Both clubs had to do significant fundraising, but by 2008 we had the Park na Gael, our own playing field, the Dave Gallard Park, and an underage training field, finished to the highest standard.
Yeah, I'm cutting you short here now because I'm conscious of time. What facilities have you got there now?
Well, in more recent times then, we went back to National Lottery again, and we have a building now comprising about six dressing rooms, two large ones, four medium-sized, upstairs facilities for each club, and again the whole arrangement governed by a management agreement, which is working excellently between both clubs.
Yeah,
And based on the same.
And in terms of playing facilities, what have you got?
Exactly as I've just outlined. I know the rugby club would have leased adjoining fields as well. We've also had to lease adjoining areas between both clubs to cater for car parking and all.
Yeah. So and the relationship is working well.
It's working excellently.
People
were joking that in the early stages we were going out together, and then when we got the club facility, clubhouse facilities,
you got the roof over your head.
We moved in together.
Sean, back to you. As I said, the clock is pressing, and unfortunately, it's catching up with us. 2015 is the McBrearty McDermott combination staying on?
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it, and you know, as I said already, like we have a very you know, good crop of young players coming through there, and I know. I suppose I didn't mention earlier. We actually had five minors and are playing regularly for our senior team this year as well. And there's a number of those guys that are only under 17, the likes of Shane Graham and Cormac Cannon. I would expect them guys to be pushing hard for the county minor panel this year. We have a couple of lads, the likes of Oisin McElhenney, Kieran Lynch, and Conor McBrearty. I'll be pushing hard for you know, the county under 21 panel, and we have Kieran Cannon who spent 2 years on the county under 21 panel, and the aforementioned Brent O'Brien already that we had, and like there's certainly a you know, a very 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 strong backbone there, and we just can't wait to sort of to get things off the ground and really looking forward to Division 3.
To get to Division 2.
Well, why not? You know, let's go for the juggler, like, you know, and if we can get all the lads to sort of to buy into that ambition again next year, I don't see why we can't be sort of, you know, up there pushing for promotion again, like, you know.
Yeah, well, we wish you all the success in it. Unfortunately, gentlemen, the clock as always catches up with us here. A big congrats to Letterkenny Gael from Newton GA lads. That's obviously Niamh Colum Kill. They're probably glad you're gone out of Division 4. Would that be right? Maybe that's why. Also, come on, Michael Kelly. Brian McLaughlin was one of the best players Michael's ever had. Now he's 37, but going mighty again. So that's about it from tonight's programme. From my special guests here in studio with me, Jim McLean, Jim McLean of Letterkenny Gales, the secretary, Dan Hartnett, chairman, Sean McBrearty, the team manager, and Mark McFadden as well, who is, of course, the club PRO. Also, my thanks to Michael Kelly, who we spoke to earlier, of St. Michael's, and to Paul McDevitt on sound. That's about it from me until next week. Just to remind you again, of course, we'll have St. Junan's and St. Enda's of Omagh in the Ulster Championship first round or semi-final clash from Celtic Park Live with Oisin Kelly on Sunday afternoon. And until next Wednesday night, Slán agus beannacht.